Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
With Virgin Mobile. Freedom is calling to brighten up your winter mornings. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
The death of Aisling Murphy last week will have promoted conversations in houses and classrooms all over Ireland, including with her own students. Parents may feel that blocking the news altogether from kids is the best thing to do. Well, now on the line with years of experience and plenty of advice is Anne Staunton. She is the CEO of Rainbows Ireland. Good morning, Anne. How are you?
Hi, Jennifer. Good morning.
Hi. Thanks for coming on the show. Can you just explain the work Rainbows Ireland do?
We offer group support for children and young people who have experienced a bereavement in the family, be that a parent, a brother, a sister, a grandparent. We also do group support for children whose parents have separated or divorced. And we're based in many schools around the country, in family resource centres, in community projects, in counselling projects. So we have a wide reach around the country. Before COVID, generally, somewhere around 4,000 or 5,000 children came into group support around their whatever their bereavement was. Meeting others in a group is just so empowering for children because they think that they're the only person or the only family.
Okay.
So that's kind of a summary of what we do.
Okay.
We are a voluntary group. Mainly people that deliver this program are people like teachers, social workers, social care workers, youth workers. So they come and train in the program and they deliver it in their own free time, mainly in the evenings, generally around the winter time.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What is the difference between how a young child and a slightly older one might understand death?
So that's a really good question. And it's one of the things that we run conversations with parents now, particularly during Zoom. And it's the one thing that they remark on, the fact that there is even a difference as to how different children of different ages and stages of development understand death. And so young children, they're in a very egocentric world. They don't yet have the cognitive, emotional, psychological understanding to know what being dead means. So they're watching television. They expect, they don't understand the universality of it. They don't understand the permanence. And they find, and also, where is the person gone? When is that person coming back? And in society, we tend to use words like, somebody has passed away, they've been lost. And children find that very confusing. So it adds to that confusion. They don't understand that being dead means no longer being alive, that the body has stopped working, and that the person is not going to come back. Whereas older children, so you might ask roughly around what age, but maybe we would see in our groups generally around 8, 9, and 10 and onwards, children are beginning to realize. They're beginning to realize actually what this means, that this person isn't coming back, that the person has died. Depending on a family's religion and what they believe, that's tied up in it too.
Gotcha.
But younger, and even though, I think, Jennifer, it'd be important to say, even though younger children don't understand kind of the intellectual concept of death, they do feel, they can feel the absence of the person, if that's a dad or a mother or a grandparent. They feel, they understand when somebody isn't there. Even a young baby can feel that the absence of somebody. And that's really what's very, very important. And particularly if that person is somebody that's part and parcel of their everyday life. Older children are beginning to, so what we do through the program is help them to make sense of what's happened and to adjust to their life without that person. Hope that answers the question.
Absolutely. You obviously, you provide a service that benefits lots and lots of kids. But why is it important for listeners to understand that family is often the best place for children to come to terms with loss?
Well, you see, if you go back to the traditional Ireland, like, even 100 years ago, children were just part and parcel of the wake, and they would be in and out, and death was very much talked about then, and it was part of the of living, that whole concept of life and death.
Is that a good thing? Is that a good thing to have them?
Oh, absolutely.
Because there's always a question, you know, should children as young as 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, should they be at the wake and the funeral? Are we protecting them if we don't bring them to these events?
Well, you see, that's a key, that's the key issue. We are experiencing it, so as I say, built on thousands of children and also on the research. First of all, that children should, that death, the death is explained at whatever age appropriate level is, and maybe ask them would they like to come, give them a choice. Some children can immediately say no, I don't want to. But when children get to be part of the process, even though they mightn't understand at the time, they do know then that something that this person has died, and there has been a whole ritual around that, and that builds their understanding that they will build on as they grow and develop. We meet children who say to us, "I didn't go to the funeral. I didn't know where my mom was. I didn't know where my dad was or my granddad." Mm. And so that can add to the confusion. And you hear them saying in later life, so what I'm talking about in our groups, things like, "I wish I had been at the funeral." I ask whoever it is in the family, "What was it like?" And they wonder, because the ritual is really important around anything. We've lots of rituals in Irish life about lot, even Christmas that we've just been through. But death and dying is the very, very same, particularly for children. It helps if they want to. Some children may not want to. Sometimes even explaining about maybe granddad or granny or whoever it is that's in the coffin, "Would you like to put in a card?" And we know that afterwards, when they come into groups, and I know also in one-to-one work, it is so, I suppose, comforting them that they were there, they were part of it. You know, I'm aware of some people, particularly in the past, and parents thought they were doing the right thing, and children weren't told what had happened. And some children thought they're, particularly in relation to a parental death, that their parent had gone on holidays. They weren't told, because people thought it was better to protect children, not to tell them. But that, as children grow and develop then, and you see, I'm aware of a friend of mine, and she was told in the school play yard, you know, she said, "You know, your mammy has died." Now, this has gone back a long, long time. But that was nobody in her family had actually told her. She'd gone away down the country to an aunt. And she's now in, you know, same age as myself, in her 60s, and she often mentions that to me. Mm. We hear that a lot. So I suppose the thinking today is to ask children to bring them along, to involve them, if at all possible. Okay. It is so comforting, so helpful to the later process of adjusting without that person.
And kids as young as 10, some 8 and 9 year olds are online now or on social media, would have seen vigils, services, candles being lit. What tips would you give to mums and dads listening right now on how to explain the news we heard last week?
Yeah. So they said, we've already had calls around this, Jennifer, and so parents are worried, how do they approach this? I mean, we have to acknowledge the outpouring of grief, of loss, of distress, of anger that has been over the last few days. And you are right, children, listening to that. And what struck me most, I don't know if you had noticed, so many children were at the vigils.
Yeah.
But actually, it's very, very healthy. So you would presume in that situation that those children, it has been explained at some age-appropriate level what's happened, and that they're going along to think of Aisling and to think of her family and her friends and the whole Tullamore area. And that's really powerful. But what I would say is to, if your child has asked a question, to try and answer that as with simple facts in an age-appropriate way, not going into too many details, because really the reality is at the moment we know a certain amount, but we don't know everything. And so it's addressing whatever that is, whatever they have said, or even saying to them, I know that you know about the teacher in Tullamore. Is there anything you'd like to ask me? Do you want to talk about it? And to keep it very simple and very as factual as they have asked. I think the key point here, though, in relation to this is that children take the cue from their parents. If they see their parents or their guardians and they're very distressed and they're very worried and they're talking about this, that can impact on children. So I suppose I'd be saying to parents that are listening here this morning, and we know how devastated every single one of us are, and how our hearts go out to the people in Tullamore and the family. But at the end of the day, when we're in our home, maybe just to think that children are listening, and just to be aware of what we say, maybe not going into expressing too many opinions. And I'm not saying that we hush it, definitely not, because no more than going to the funeral. It's to have it out, openly discussed, but maybe not in a way that we might do if we were just as a group of adults. So children take the cue from us.
Little ears are always listening, aren't they?
Pardon?
Little ears are always listening.
Yes. But do you know what? Children need reassurance. They need reassurance to know that actually this is so rare. And that's why so many people all over the country have come out on vigils with candles to say prayers, to remember the family, to remember Aisling herself, because it is so rare. And to give the reassurance that the police are there, they're already doing their job. So many people are there to protect us. And so it's keeping the calmness, but also giving the reassurance in as best way as you can. I would also say that children don't very often ask questions in kind of a logical, you know, time that they say, can I ask you a question? Sometimes it can come out of nowhere, and that's really common with how children react to situations. They're trying to make sense of something. Maybe they're upset. They're all coming out of COVID. Not all children have settled down. And here's another very tragic event that has happened. And so children, when you least expect it, can ask you the most difficult question. And I'd be saying to parents, just take a deep breath and say, that's a really good question. Now, let me think about, if they need to, let me think about
take
that.
Your
you know
time.
What? I might come back to that later. Not to be afraid, or even to say, do you know what? We don't know about that. We know the police are doing everything they can. But very often, children ask at a time, maybe when the dinner has been cooked, or you're on the laptop, or somebody's on their phone, maybe to come off that, to be able to stop yourself as a parent and just sit down
and
in
listen.
That moment and just
yeah.
sit with them, because it doesn't last long. Children go in and out of deep thinking very quickly, particularly when they're worried and they're distressed, whereas we as adults, it's on our mind the whole time. But, you know, and so a child, I'm already aware from parents ringing in, the children are asking, you know, what happened? Why did this person do this? How did that happen? And so taking the time, if you can, and those questions are never rarely at opportune times when you're sitting doing nothing. Now, they could come in the car or out
so
for a
listen.
Walk, that's grand. But just to take the time and to that sense of calm, because we as adults, as parents, we're almost the guide, you know, for children are reared in families. And you asked that at the beginning. So families can play such a supportive role. One of the things we say when we're talking to parents on the phone is never, ever underestimate the calm, the reassuring, the supportive, the people that are there for their children, maybe on the way to bed when they suddenly bring up these questions.
Some really good tips there. Anne Staunton, CEO of Rainbows Ireland, thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks, Anne.
Thanks, Jennifer. Thank you.
There we go. I suppose what I've taken from that, well, a few things is obviously listen to their questions if they have them. And you want to be that reliable source of information. You don't want them hearing things in the playground or at school that might be I don't know, untrue or far-fetched or whatever. And I suppose as long as they know they can come to you, that is the most important thing. Somebody just texts me an excellent piece to have on in relation to bereavement and children. It is so important. Thank you.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.